Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We are on for Blog Talk Radio, and we're trying to get here on with you guys on Periscope. I think my camera's covered here. Oh, yep, we're doing it now. Okay. We're making it happen for you. You know, I am not in Tulsa, and here's the first sign that I'm not in Tulsa because we are I think we're flipping. Yay! Because we are having fun with technology. And so I know my crew there in Tulsa is like, come on. I miss you guys so, so much. But I want to thank you guys for joining me for this edition of Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. I am Chief Prophet Tala Price, and I am live here in Jacksonville, Florida. What you see behind me is actually the worship place. We are currently with Apostle DeJuan Holmes getting ready for this year's convocation. And so we're excited to be here and to be a part of that. Hi, guys. I see you coming. Hi, Linda. I see you guys coming on and joining me for tonight's session. I just loved you all enough. I didn't want to stay apart this Wednesday, so I found a way for us to connect. And so I'm excited to have you on with me here today. Yes. And so I have some great people helping me out to make sure that we could get this information out to you. We could continue our journey because we are on a journey together, Wednesday Warriors. Yes, it's you and me and God and the big three. We are on a journey together. We're working on transforming ourselves. We're working on becoming the essence and the fullness of all that is the measure and stature of Jesus Christ. We're not just working on becoming good believers. We're not just working on becoming good people. We're not just working on doing good deeds. We're working on becoming the product of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he gave his life's blood for, we're working on becoming the essence of that, the embodiment of that, Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, back in the day when Dr. Price was first putting Before the Garden together, and we were doing our really learning how to understand this revelation at the time, it was so, so interesting because she said to us that God, in this generation, God is going to stun the world with what he can do in flesh. And she was teaching us how to work the power of Christ in us, how to work that power. So tonight, Before the Garden, we're going to talk about how to work that power. We're right there still in our favorite book by our favorite author, Dr. Paula Price, the one and only Dr. Paula Price. So we're still in our favorite book by our favorite author, and we're still in chapter 6. Here's some quality news. We are wrapping down chapter 6, so I think we have, what, maybe a couple of more sessions, and then we're going to be in chapter 7. That is true. Maybe, I think, if I'm right, maybe a few Wednesdays from now, we will officially be in chapter 7. But I'm giving you an opportunity to share with your friends, share this broadcast right now, invite followers, invite people, get your books out, get your coffee, make sure you're on chapter 6, page 102, so that we can jump in and get started. But we're on this journey to become something. We're partnering so that God can continue the transformation process in us, and the transformation process of becoming like him, not just becoming children, not just becoming believers, but becoming like him in every essence and every form of the word. You know, we want to transform into, I hear people say all the time, I want to be like Jesus Christ. I want to be like Christ. And a lot of times when they're talking about be like Christ, they want to transform into Christ's emotion. But taking on Christ's character takes some work. Would you all say that tonight? That is one thing to try to take on Christ's emotions because we feel like, hey, if we want to be like Jesus Christ, we're going to walk around loving everybody all day long, every day, in every way, right? But taking on Christ's character, now that's where the work begins. That's where the journey and the effort becomes, is taking on the full character every way that he describes himself. Because a person's character is not the sum of just one fruit of the Spirit or just one trait. And a lot of times when we're wanting to say we want to be like Jesus Christ, we just want to take on his emotions and not the full essence and character of who he is. And that's what Before the Garden is challenging you to do, is to become Jesus Christ in mind, body, soul, spirit, will, and character. And that's why it takes so long on this side for us to get ready to live with him forever. and why you cannot just, you know, blink and this thing be done overnight. That's why he had to say that he that's begun a good work in you will be faithful all the way up to the day of Jesus Christ. Because what did we talk about? That your walk or your completion in salvation doesn't just stop with the sinner's prayer. That's your catalyst. But the work isn't finished until you get into your eternal place with him. Christ in you reigning forever is the end game. That is the end goal. And if you don't get there, then God's work in your life is not finished. The cross hasn't completed itself until you get to its purpose, which was not just bringing you into a divine destiny. It was about bringing you into a destination. And that destination is in God's world, ruling and reigning with him forever. That is the end goal. That is what he's pushing you towards. That is what he's pressing all the mess out of your life for, so that you can rule and reign with him forever. This is so beyond our world, which is why I love Before the Garden, because Dr. Price reminds you that it goes beyond our world. It goes beyond what we're living from our in our day-to-day experience. And so I love the fact that she brings that to us. I love the fact that she reminds us that it's not about just what we do here. We started this journey talking about Christianity not starting on earth. I know. Reminder, right? Reminder, Christianity did not start here, and it's not about ending here. It is about where you're going in for eternity, where you're going to be, your divine destiny. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we've been pushing you towards, is really embracing and preparing and taking seriously your divine destiny. We're all wanting to know what our destiny here is on earth, but your destiny on earth is to the intent that it prepares you and equips you to take on the fullness of your divine purpose, that which you'll be doing with Christ forever. We talked about that we didn't lose in the garden. We didn't just lose, you know, our humanity. We lost connection with our divinity. And so this journey is about getting you reunited with your divine destiny, who you are in Christ forever, not who you are right now. This is temporary. Who you are right now is going to be obsolete. This is not the finished product. This is not the perfect product. We talked about this being the trial sample. This just being a sample of what Christ wants to give to you. This is how he's tendering an offer. When you tender an offer to somebody, you come and you bring the prototype. You bring the demo. You bring a model of it, right? This is just the model of it. Jesus just, and believe it or not, he walked on water. This man walked on water, walked through walls, rose people from the dead, and that was just the prototype. That wasn't the perfection of what he's trying to do, of what we're going to become when we're seated in heavenly places. Jesus just brought the prototype of this thing. He just did all he did to give you a foretaste of glory divine, not the essence of how we're going to live forever. Hello, welcome from Portland. I see you on tonight with me, Dr. Spears. Go ahead and share. We're just getting started. You know how we do. We have to get started. We have to, you know, give us a chance to get our books and get our coffee and go tell our friends that we're about to be on tonight and that God is going to go someplace with us in this. Because he's going after creating a product. He's going after an architecture, a design. And what we're living from day to day isn't it. Hello, Tulsa. Thank you for getting on. Gainesville, thank you for getting on. I love you guys. I miss you guys. I'm so glad that you're joining us tonight while I'm out here in Jacksonville, loving it. Got some great friends down here. Hello, Pastor Della. It's great to see you as well. Glad to have you guys on board and us working together on this journey of Before the Garden. We're still in Chapter 6, and we're still working through this together because this is a together journey. We're doing this together in God. Amen. So I'm going to do some quick reviews so that if you're joining us for the first time and you haven't gotten an opportunity to read the book Before the Garden, I want to invite you to do so. It's written by the one and only Dr. Paula Price. You can get it off of her website, www.drpaulaprice.com or drpaulaaprice.com. And you can get the book because it's going to revolutionize your thinking. It's going to help you understand not only who you are in God, but who God is. Because you recognize that you cannot serve God beyond your understanding of who he really is. Is it true? And a lot of times we're living our Christianity and we're living our faith based on what we understand God to be. But God's trying to reveal himself to us as he is according to his world and according to his foundation and his eternal truth. And so we're looking for that, definitely looking for that today. Amen? And so we have those things. We have those things that we need to look at. You can just come here for me. And so that is what we're doing. And so at the end of the day, I want to invite you to join me and for us to go ahead and get on board with what God is doing. So Wednesday Warriors ready? Y'all ready? I have a little small studio audience, and they're ready in the house. Hey! So we're ready. We're ready. We're ready. Uh-oh, I think I got to, you can just forgive me because the crew is at home in Tulsa. Hi, crew. I hope you all forgive me. I'm doing right. And Nia, I tell you what, I bless Nia for doing this. You can come say hi. This is my friend Nia. She's helping me out. Yes, hi. She's helping me out tonight to make sure that we can get on board with you. And my warriors are ready. So we've been on this journey talking about wrapping down predestination. Okay, this is going to be one of our final weeks. I think today is our final day of wrapping down the concept of predestination. And I'm going to just do some review of some thoughts on this, because we've covered so much information relating to this. We talked about what predestination means. We talked about why it exists, what it accomplishes and achieves for God, how everything that we're living as Christians was predestined before we got here. Before we became, God already wrote out and determined the type of world, the type of creatures, the type of society and civilization, even the type of person he wanted to be. All of that was predetermined before he said, let there be anything. So God brought nothing into existence without preparing or predetermining how he wanted it to exist. See, God determined how he wanted things to exist before he breathed the breath of life in them. Because there's no way you can be Alpha and Omega and stay in control over your creation if you yourself haven't predetermined how it will exist and how it's going to live under you or live through you. Because God's creation is living through him. We're living by the breath and the power of the Almighty God. We covered that in our discussion of predestination. So God predetermined how everything will exist, how it would operate in this world. And he determined that everything that exists would come under some basic law, right? We talked about that with predestination, that in order for things to live, he created a code of life, so that things under him would live like him forever. And then things that did not want to live like him, he created a code of death. Actually, he didn't even have to really create it, because death came into existence, good and evil, life and death came into existence at the same time. Right? We understand that opposites come in together. So they came into existence at the same time. So God made that determination ahead of time, how he wanted things to exist and how he wanted things to function in him and in his world. Predestination is all about determining how you want something to thrive, to prosper in you. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. We have a section in here. You don't get to see the screen. So if you guys are all right with that tonight, we're just going to talk a little bit. You don't get to see the screen in front of you. But we use predestination every day. God's not the only person that utilizes the feature of predestination. Why? Because it's the only way that you can plan for something's existence. The only way that you can plan for something to succeed or thrive is to have a plan. Even if you're a criminal, they use predestination. Okay? It's not just bound by God and his divine world. But we use predestination every day. We predetermine. I'm here at a wonderful event, okay? And you've been a part of it, setting up and preparing. Okay, so when you're putting together an event, what is the first thing that you do? The first thing that you do is make a plan. And what happens in that plan?
Write down points.
All right, you write down points, procedures, and you work out how everything is going to be done. Okay, and so write down to what? Telling somebody where they're going to be at a specific time, what specific job and function they're going to do. Write down to anticipating certain results and outcomes. Having to take into account things that may happen that you didn't necessarily account for. So if this happens, then we'll do this. And if that happens, then we'll do this. Is that not what we do? Okay, so it's all, then when you say you're planning, what happens then? The planning process includes what? Writing everything down on paper. So you take the plan. Okay, many of you know this. You take the plan, and you write all the details of how you want it to happen on paper, giving everybody a role, responsibility, a time, a date, okay, instructions, and all of those things. And then what happens? Is that when the event is completed? After you wrote it down on paper, is the event done? Has it been completed? No. Then you turn around and have to do what with that information? You have to what? Release it to carry it out. So although the event is slated to happen, it already has all the provision. Look at this now. We're talking about predestination. The event has been provided for. You're getting provision for it. And this is all paper. All you're doing is intending to complete this event. It hasn't been done, but yet you're going out and finding provision for it. You're finding resources. You're getting people together. You're doing all of this based on something that was written down on paper before you decide to carry it out. In fact, it can't even be carried out, can it? Until you actually write it down on paper and determine how it's going to happen. Oh, okay. So creation couldn't be carried out until God wrote down and determined how it was going to happen. And he had to give resources. He had to get all of it together. He had to provide resources for something that only existed on paper. Oh, come on in here. Provision. When he said that he provided for you, when he is your provider, that means he had to have a beforehand vision of your life. While it was on paper, 139th Psalm, while you were yet in your mother's womb, when you were just a substance, see, a plan. See, when you sit down and plan your events, and I've got a lot of believers on the line with us tonight and who will even watch this again. When you sat down and plan your events or even plan for your destiny or future or plan for your own children, you're only walking around with the substance. See, your idea, your vision is just the substance of something that you're hoping for that is not yet seen, but yet has to be planned and provided for if it's going to have a vehicle to be carried out. Oh, my goodness. So before God could say, let there be, he had to say, let me decree. Ah, come on in here. Before he can say, let there be, he had to say, let me decree. I have to decree. I have to write out on paper and decree so that everything that comes into existence will know. You, how many of y'all have ever been to an event, my God, that only existed in the mind of the visionary and nothing was really mapped out or written down? Everybody comes and they don't know what to do. And don't you hate it? You absolutely hate going to unplanned events. Oh, come on and share it with your friends. Come on and share it with your friends. Come on and share it with your friends. You hate going to events that are unorganized and unplanned for. You get frustrated because everybody comes together and they don't know what to do. You can have the most talented people, brilliant minds, all in the same room. If there is no plan, if there is no vision, if there is no instruction, they do not know what to do, and their gifts and talents are useless. In fact, when they all have to come together and figure out what to do in the moment, it becomes what? Dangerous, chaotic, divisive, contentious, if there is no beforehand plan for their talents, their behaviors, their actions, and their ability. If somebody doesn't plan even for your ability, they can turn into something divisive, corrupt. They can have the opposite effect just by not having order. Order starts with planning. You cannot say that you are a believer in divine order and don't plan. Order starts with planning. It starts with planning. Imagine how chaotic your life would be if God didn't really have a plan for it. Let's think about that. Let's walk that out. How chaotic is it for children whose parents didn't plan for them? Think about what their lives are like. They're thrown into the system or thrown to the wolves, and there's nothing there. There's no provision for them. They have no resources to live. They have no instructions about who they are. They can't figure out anything from top to bottom. Oh, come on. Think about how crazy it is to have an unplanned life. Because, see, that's what happens to children that get thrown into the trash, that get left on the doorstep. They have an unplanned life. Nobody is giving them a purpose or a reason. Now, they could be talented. They could be a singer. They could be a dancer. They could be a preacher. They could be any of those things. They could be a businessman. But they don't have anybody planning or orchestrating their life or their steps. So what ends up happening? The gifts and talents in them turn It turns into their means of survival. It turns into a weapon. It turns into a defense. It turns into all of these things. It corrupts on itself because it wasn't given instructions on how to function and how to produce something of prosperity. Oh, come on in here. Or profitability. You can't even have profitability if you don't have a plan. What is the old adage? If you don't plan to succeed, you plan to fail. Isn't that what we teach? Isn't that what we say? So if God has a plan, we call it what? Judgment and legalism. Ain't no God, ain't nobody in the universe going to tell me what to do with my life. Do you really want to live in a universe where nobody has any idea what to do with your life? And nobody cares about why you're on this planet at all? There are people who are living like that. That's why God said he would not leave us orphans. Oh, come on in here. That was a powerful statement. Because, see, when you're not an orphan, it means somebody prepared for you. Somebody planned to have you. Somebody planned for your life. Somebody cares about what's going to happen and what you're going to become. Somebody takes responsibility for your existence. See, predestination was about God at the beginning choosing as your creator to take responsibility for your existence. It wasn't about just telling you what to do, leaving you without options and choices and making you feel like you're confined to some invisible wind in the universe. It was about a creator saying, I'm not going to just pull you, block you out of myself. I'm not going to just pull you out of my soul and let you bobble around and figure things out. I'm going to take responsibility for making your existence work on earth. I have to take responsibility as your creator for making your life work. That's why while you were in your mother's womb, I was already taking responsibility for how your life was going to work and what kind of fruit and harvest I would get from you being here in spite of the opposition. Because God isn't the only person who's trying to make plans for you. Oh, come on in here. God had a plan for Adam, did he not? But the devil did too. The devil did too. See, it's important. That's how we lost our immortality and eternality. Because that dead spirit, that fleeing serpent, took responsibility for our existence. And you see what he did with it. When he took control over the human existence, look at what we became. We deteriorated. We corrupted. When that last Adam decided that he was going to take responsibility for the existence of those that would believe in him, oh, my God. Oh, my God, look at the alternative. Look at the outcome. Look at the promise. Just look at our lives today. Who remembers themselves before they got saved and then after? Okay? We could take before and after photos, my God, of ourselves in Christ, Jesus. Because when he took responsibility for us, his goal was to bring us into life. Satan's goal was just to have people. He just wanted to control. He just wanted subjects. God wanted sons. Yes. And that's what the enemy does. He makes you subject. But Jesus said, but I call you son. I call you friend. Oh, come on in here. Why? Because he's your true creator. And he's going back to the original reason why he said, let there be any of us. Let there be any of this. He had to predetermine that. And look at what happens when your parents don't predetermine things for your life. Guess what can't happen? They can't protect you. They can't safeguard you. They can't do any of those things. When you think about orphans, they have no protection. They have no safeguards. They have nobody looking out for them. So God's predestined plan, your destiny is to safeguard you. Your purpose is to protect you, to keep you from falling into all manner of things that won't profit, that will destroy your soul, that will destroy your life, that will abuse you, that will take advantage of you, that will try to tear you down. See, when you know your purpose, people can't stop. Ah, come on here. People can't just run up on you. They can't just pull you in any old kind of direction. They can't just do any old kind of thing that they want to do. But when you don't know, and no one's provided for you. So your purpose is, come on, a proposal, a beforehand offer on what your life can do or be based on this consortium of gifts and abilities and talents. But when no one has taken responsibility for you and no one cares, My God, you get into everything. I'll try drugs. I'll try alcohol. I'll sleep around. I'll do this. I'll do that because you have no internal architecture, no internal guide, no internal navigational pull that's leading you towards a purpose or leading you towards a particular outcome that can prosper your life. Nothing's leading you. Your purpose will lead you from within until you can even define it or identify it or know what it's supposed to achieve. How many have ever woken up and said, you know you're greater than this, you're worth more than this, you are better than this? Oh, come on in the place. Come on in the place. Go ahead and invite some people. I'm better than this because something is leading you from within. What God predestined, predetermined about your life comes in and leads you and guides you towards a profitable end. I know the thoughts I have of you to give you a, come on, to do you good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God literally put hope in your soul to guide you towards a profitable end and guide you towards what he promised. People who are not even saved got things leading them. First of all, if we didn't have something leading us from within to a higher purpose, we couldn't have got saved. We would have found Jesus Christ. He said, if we didn't choose him, he chose us. And if he didn't choose us from the beginning, when he was writing out his plan, oh, come on, we would be without hope. But he chose you. He wrote that thing out and then held himself accountable. See, when we go back to our idea of this is predestination by design. Predestination by design. You recognize that you were designed. You didn't just happen. I know things happen to you because God's got an enemy, but you didn't just happen. Things happen to you because God's got an enemy. Oh, come on in here. Because he's got an enemy. But let's go back to the plan. When you set up a plan, we used to do minute by minute for our events. And those who do big, huge events, you recognize that you need those. And are probably very familiar with the show, with the event Bible that has everything in it, minute by minute. Now, that's us who can't control anything in the universe setting up a plan to go minute by minute. And we're doing it for what? So that we can get a particular outcome, so we can ensure that what we set forth to achieve with our event can be accomplished. And what happens when you write that plan? You hold yourself accountable to it. And you make everybody who's a part of the venue accountable to the plan. Do you not? Because if everybody is not accountable to what's written, y'all can tell me on Periscope, what will happen if they're not accountable to what's written? If everybody, you give out your outline of what's supposed to happen at your event, you write it all out, you map it down, and you hand out the document to everybody, but everybody decides they're not going to obey the written document that you gave them to ensure the event's going to happen the way you planned it. What's going to happen? What do you think the outcome is going to be? If nobody goes by what's written, not even you as the leader, what will happen? Chaos, disorder. I see a mess. People saying a mess is what's going to happen. Now you understand why God put his word above everything. Because his word is the document. His word is the schematic. His word is the logic system. His word is the plan. And if we don't follow that, we're going to end up with chaos. We're going to end up with what we are right now. Blind leading the blind into a ditch. Come on. Mind so dull that we can't find out, know which way is up. We're going to have all the things we have here today because you're not following the word. And we think that following the word is just about having this great, about just being this obedient Christian to God. No, following the word is ensuring that we get the right outcome. We get the right results. We get the, oh, come on. A lot of chaos is happening in the world today because they're not following the original or foundational word on creation. They're bucking up against the plan that was written. Okay. Oh, yeah. They're bucking up against that. Oh, come on. They're bucking up against that. And so it's very, very important Oh, come on now. It's very, very important that we stick with the plan. We know the benefits in the natural of sticking with the plan. Oh, don't we? We don't want people to mess up our agendas and to frustrate what we're trying. How much more the Almighty God, who's responsible for all life and all flesh and all things. And a lot of times we're on God's case about why this and why that and why the other thing. He says, but I wrote a plan, but nobody is going by my script. And it's creating chaos. This person doing that person's job. This person not knowing when to show up. Okay, this person giving the wrong instruction, causing confusion, and the outcome to be altered. Oh, come on, is that not what's happening in humanity? When Satan decided he wasn't going to follow the playbook, he disrupted the whole entire structure and the whole entire plan of God's event. He disrupted it, and his disruption caused chaos for all of our lives. Now what should have been a simple process of us getting from A to B is now a whole bunch of trials and tribulations. Now we got to have the trial just to get from point A to point B. In between God telling you and God doing it is all of this, chaos. Why? Because we have people who are not going to play by the script, who are not going to go by the plan, who are not going to do any of those things. Oh, come on in here. So because of that, that is how we end up with our lives looking a mess and us being angry with God. God, why are these crazy things happening? Because nobody's listening to the speech. I already wrote Alcee, but we're not going to do the paper. Okay, so the paper's out. Everybody's on improv. See, free will, or what we like to call permissive will, and I don't even understand that in the body of Christ, but we like to call permissive will. See, that's improv. That's what you call improvisational. And when somebody begins to improv and doesn't go by the destined plan, we end up with not just chaos and confusion, but we end up with loss of life. We end up with loss of hope, loss of destiny, loss of prosperity, loss of inheritance. We end up with a lot of loss because we got people improving on the destiny plan. So your free will interventions are allowed to happen, but that improv is going to shift things. That's going to shift it. Oh, come on. And it's going to change how God is going to get to his plan, get his plan done. Oh, come on. Because we end up, you know, we all had our improv seasons with the Lord. You improvise on the word. Come on, I found the way, Jesus. This seems like this is better. But that's what the whole idea of predestination is and why we have to cooperate with what was written. You want people to cooperate with what's written down in your church. If you give the usher at the door instructions, you want to know that they're going to listen to you. How much more the Almighty God? How much more the Almighty God? And with him having all the world in his hands, how much more him? And so predestination is designed for God to take care of you, to ensure that what he promises and what he brought you into existence for is accomplished and achieved. It can't be achieved if nobody planned for it. Your destiny can't be achieved if nobody planned for it. And God didn't just plan for it in word as a spoken word out of his mouth or the rhema out of his mouth. He planned for it right down into how he constructed you. And I saw somebody say that on here, your very DNA. Because you know your DNA is nothing but code and words. He planned for you right down to your very DNA, the personality you would have, all of it, your gifts, your talents, and your abilities. That's how much he provided for you. That's why he can say he's a provider and you have no cash in your pocket, because he already put it in your makeup. God didn't just give us dollars and cents. They don't need that in heaven. That's not their exchange system. Their currency isn't that, because they're spirit. Their currency is spirit. Their currency is soul. Their currency is life. That is their currency in heaven. They don't need these tangible things. We need that because we are in the visible world. But the invisible world operates on a divine currency, which is those virtues and powers. See, we've always been taught that the fruit of the spirit is just, character traits. No, those are virtues and powers and currency that God uses to make things happen. What did we all say? Love conquers all, which means that before he even, I mean, without exchanging a dollar or a cent. I mean, the church operates on love, the currency of love, every day. I love my church, so I'm going to show up and do things. There was no exchange of money. There was no exchange of currency. There don't have to be a promise of payment or compensation. Our compensation is doing something for something we love. So love, the fruit of the Spirit called love, is a currency. It's a power. It's an agency that can produce things and make things happen. Favor is a currency. Sacrifice is a currency. Oh, come on in here. So when God says he provided, he really means he provided beforehand what we need to succeed, and that doesn't always have to be just dollars and cents. We have to have that in the flesh because here, praise the Lord, church, everybody's inheritance has to be accommodated by a natural means. But in the heavenly realms, oh, come on in here, and even in the earth realm too, we can bypass that. How many of y'all just ever just did a favor for a friend? No money exchange. So a lot of times when we're frustrated with God saying, God, where is it? Where is it? Where's the money? I can't get a blessing. Whoa. He blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He meant it. What you have to do is tap into the currency that you need to produce what you're going for. And even sometimes it takes heavenly currency to get natural cash. You know what? I'm just going to give you this loan because, I mean, you seem like you're a nice person. God just moves his own spiritual currency of favor into your situation for you to get your natural cash, for you to get a natural provision. He just moved his heavenly currency. Oh, come on in here. We've convinced, not sure what happened. Hey, guys, technology, man. All I have to say is shout out to my crew, Tamira, Al, you know, Papa Nadia, you know who you are. We need you here. All right, so I'm back, just like that. I need my crew here. I love your priest. You know who you are. Okay, I need you out here in Jacksonville. All right, but they're doing what they can to make sure it works. So when you're talking about your tithes and offerings and all of those types of things and people cheating you, making you feel like that, you know, you're just giving your money to some church, that ain't got nothing to do with God. That has nothing to do with God. You are, and when you sow, you are pushing for God to move his currency into your situation. Oh, come on in here. To move his currency. And his currency is not just dollars and cents. It's hope. It's love. It's joy. Sometimes we need God to give us peace on our jobs. Some of you guys got crazy and cantankerous and coworkers, people trying to sabotage you and set you up. You need God to move his currency, which isn't dollars and cents. You need him to move his currency of peace into your situation. And so a lot of times, crazy family, praise God, them too. You need God to do that. When you're sick on your deathbed, money can't profit you at that point. You may need it for the treatment, but at the end of the day, you need heaven to move heaven's currency into your situation. And so we don't necessarily sow and give in the natural for our currency. Yes, we need it because churches have to pay bills. They can't walk around robbing people in the name of God to keep their facilities running. That's a poor testimony. That's against the standard of righteousness. But the reality is your covenant is with your God. Your covenant is with your God. Your covenant is with your God because at midnight when your pastor is asleep and you're crying out, because your soul is broken and your life is devastated, you need your covenant with your God to move your currency into your situation. Oh, come on in here. You always sow to Jesus Christ. Oh, come on in here. Because he's the Lord of the harvest. So you always sow to Jesus Christ because he's the Lord of the harvest. And I don't care. You can sow in Timbuktu. You can sow in the United States. It doesn't matter because seeds are eternal. They're going into an eternal place. They never die. Not one of your sacrifices, not one of your seeds and labors of love are going to die in God's world. Come on. If he says that we're going to have to be held accountable when we stand before him for every work that we've done, that lets you know that your seeds of love and service to the Lord Jesus Christ don't die and that they're not being measured by who responds to you here. They're being measured by what you affected up there. And let me tell you something, up there knows how to make something happen in your life. They can move in again, predetermined. 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 Your partnership with him. And so you have to stop measuring yourself by how people treat your seed in the natural. They're not the Lord over your harvest. They're not the bishop over your soul. They're not the Lord over your life. Oh, come on in here. They're not the Lord over your life. And if you don't trust them for your healing and for your breakthrough, then why are you trusting them in that way for your seed? Oh, come on in here. You have got to learn how to trust the Almighty God in his faithfulness. He provided for you before you got here. Everything. Your eternal life was provided for. All of your options were provided for. Every option that you could choose in your life has a prevision. Oh, come on in here. Don't we do it? We did it in the natural. Before you make a move. We try to provide for all, if you are a smart person, you'll try to provide for your future before you live it. We have people storing up for retirement, storing up, okay, come on, for all of those things. Why? Providing for something so you can ensure an outcome. Predestination existed so that God could ensure his outcome. He could be Alpha and Omega, the beginning at the end. He can meet you at the beginning of your life and at the end of your life, at the start of your faith and at the completion of your faith, that he could be there. It wasn't about controlling. It was about providing for your existence and making sure that you could reach the goal. Because let me tell you something, if he didn't predetermine and make love an edict, oh, come on in here, it couldn't be enforced. If he didn't make righteousness an edict, it couldn't be enforced. If he didn't make grace an edict, it couldn't be enforced. If he didn't make mercy an edict, it couldn't be enforced. But he had to determine beforehand that those things would exist, and that's how his creation would function. We did it as America. We chose that freedom would be our standard. Before we put anything into existence, before we sent the Constitution, what was one of the first things we said is that all men were created equal. We put it in the foundation. We made it an edict so from generation to generation, that thing could be enforced. They predetermined that you as an American would live a certain type of life. You're talking about human beings predetermined what kind of life you were going to have by being in a country that made it their decree that we would have life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and justice for all. Oh, come on in here. Liberty and justice for all. We're talking about human beings made that decision for you at the behest of the Holy Ghost. If America wasn't being moved by an eternal destiny, oh, come on, an eternal destiny from the Almighty God, we wouldn't have gotten this thing here today that was propelling them forward and causing them to, oh, come on, come into their purpose as a nation. Oh, come on in here. Predestination. Predetermining. Predetermining the life that you're going to have and the things that you're going to live. Despite the frustration. Oh, come on in here. Because, I'm going to tell you something, because God's edict on your life is blessing, despite the trials and the tribulations and the frustrations of darkness that are trying to pull this thing another way, God's decree, when he says there are many plans in your heart, but the counsel of the Lord is going to stand. What God said on your life is what's going to stand. The challenge that was set before us today is we can stand until he completes it. Can you stand until God completes the work on your life? But his counsel can't be changed. His words can't be reversed. His decrees cannot be annulled. The question is, can you stand long enough for him to complete the work, for him to defeat your enemy? Oh, come on in here. You have to be able to stand long enough for God to eradicate the resistance and the opposition to his word and what he's trying to fulfill in your life. Isn't that what we do? When we plan an event, how many of y'all have planned events and it just didn't go nowhere near there? You had things written down on paper and everything went left, south, and due otherwise. Didn't have enough money. Enough people didn't show up. Oh, come on. Y'all know what it's like to put on a conference and you got to come on here. Blood, sweat, and tears to try to get this thing to the finish line. And what do you determine? despite the opposition, this plan, this event, this venture will stand. Oh, come on. And you fight through the resistance so that your word doesn't return. Oh, come on. You fight to complete what you started, to carry that thing out so it doesn't go back. How much more Jesus Christ in you? The problem is we have to believe in God's word and in his destiny for us enough to fight for it and to fight through with him. You have to believe it enough. God already believes in it. It's getting you to believe in what he said concerning you enough that you will withstand every fiery dart. And then having done all to stand, will stand therefore. He's got to get you to want, oh, come on. I told you all last week at the end of the message that faith has to mix with faith. And why did I say that? Because God's faith in you is not enough. You have to have faith in you. God's faith has to mix with a faith you have in yourself. Because if you don't have faith in yourself, that means that his faith is mixing with doubt. And according to James, if doubt is there and present in any form, like a little leaven, leavening the whole lump, it can't happen. So if you believe in God but doubt yourself, come on, it still can't happen. Faith can't mix with doubt. It can't mix with unbelief. Y'all with me today? It can't mix with unbelief. So God has to get you to a place that you believe in his destiny and purpose enough that your faith in what he said concerning you and your ability to do it is strong enough to carry it out. There are a lot of things that God doesn't release in your life right away because he's got to get your soul to a place that it can carry it out. Don't we put things off when you're sitting down as a church or you're sitting down as a ministry and it's time to do the budget for the year, it's time to do the plans for the year? What do you sit down and calculate? But can we carry that out right now? Do we have the resources for that right now? Do we have something for that right now today? We're going to wait until we are in a season or in a place where we can do that. God does the same thing with you. He budgets out your destiny to make sure that it comes at a time where you can carry it out, you can see it through, and you can give him a maximum return in harvest on what he planted in your life. See, God doesn't want to get a zero harvest off of what he predetermined. Oh, come on. So he waits to build up your soul, to build up your faith, to build up your hope, to build up your confidence, to build up your skills, your ability, so that when he releases this in your life, you can carry it out. You've been asking God for some of you have been asking God why he's not responding to you about certain things, why he hasn't answered you back on something. Because he says, I got to wait to give you instructions on that when you can carry them out. God has to wait to give us certain instructions for when we can carry that out. Oh, come on in here. Because if you can't carry it out, it's called disobedience. And he don't want to have to spank you for being disobedient. So he's going to wait until you are strong enough and you are empowered enough, educated enough, knowledgeable enough to carry it out. That's why he meters out destiny. And in fact, the first thing you meet in your life is not your destiny. The first thing you meet in your life is preparation. And that's why we get frustrated. God, my life ain't going nowhere. Ain't nothing happening. You ain't doing nothing. You promised. You prophesied. You said, no, because I've got to prepare you. The first thing you're going to walk out is your preparation for it. And not necessarily the destiny that you want to just hop right into. Because what you're even imagining God's word is, it's based on where you are right at that moment the word came. Oh, come on. How many of you guys got prophecies from 20 years ago? And you can say 20 years ago that you thought differently than you do 20 years later. And how you even interpret that word is different than how you interpret it then, because the mind of the 20-year-old is different than the mind of a 40-year-old. So even how you were expecting God's word to play out in your life, You couldn't even perceive at the time it first came to you. It came as a seed of hope so that you would endure the preparation, you would endure the processing, and get to the finish line, knowing that God, oh, come on, that God, when he spoke that word to you, when he promised that word to you, was able to fulfill it. Oh, come on in here. Abraham couldn't fully what we became when he first got the word. Oh, come on in here. When he first got that word, he wasn't able to truly see all that God meant when he said, you're going to be the father of many nations. I love my technological, you know, moments. Y'all still with me, though. Come on and hang tough with me today. We're still hanging tough. And hopefully our setup here will hang tough as well. All right, hold on with me. Okay, there we go. I think we got away. All right? So hang tough with me. Because God wants you to understand that you can't, even when it comes to predestination, we may have to put, uh-oh. I think I just lost the broadcast, I think. I don't know, y'all. Hi, oh, no. Yeah, something just happened. All right, we have to get him back. We was trying, but you know he don't know your phone. Oh, we said so. Okay, guys, forgive us. We got stuff happening. How do you get this? All right, forgive us, guys. All right, I don't have my crew with me like I told you. So we got all manner of fun stuff happening. Y'all bear with me. I appreciate y'all hanging tough with me today because we ain't got the crew, and you see I ain't on my set. So, you know, praise the Lord. But I want y'all to know that today because many of you are getting frustrated with God and frustrated about why certain things haven't happened. And God says, I need you to finish the preparation process because I cannot put my destiny in an unfinished vessel, in an unfinished work. You would not drive an unfinished car. You would not want to work with an unfinished product because you know you're not going to get the harvest or the benefit of why that exists. And God wants you to get the full benefit of why he said, let there be you, what he predetermined from your life. Judgments were predetermined, but blessings were also. All of it was predetermined. And if you want to have access to those things, you have got to endure that preparation process and that journey. Because some words, God said, I can't even answer you on that because you are not in a place where you can even hear me. Do you realize that when God sends you through a process, it changes the way you hear him, it changes the way you understand him, it changes your perception and perspective on who he is, and then he can talk to you on a different level? Just like when your kids grow up, you can talk to them differently at 21 than you could at 11. The 11-year-old mind could not understand the wisdom that you wanted to present to it. And all you could do is deposit a seed and hope that later that would mushroom and grow. That's why Paul says somebody got a plant, another person got a water. But God gives the increase when we are ready to take responsibility and capable. Our souls are fully capable of carrying that thing out. And you have to ask yourself, am I in a place right now where I'm ready to carry out the word and the destiny and the promises that God has spoken to me? Am I ready to carry out what he said he would do? Oh, come on. Because we like to hold God accountable for performing and delivering, but we don't hold ourselves accountable for being ready. We have to hold ourselves equally as accountable for being ready to carry his word and do something prosperous and profitable with it for him. Because he wants a harvest too. He didn't sow into these. He said, I sow a natural body and a spiritual body. He did not sow these bodies to get nothing out of it. He did not sow into your life to get zero. He wants the full essence of everything that you were bought with a price for. Right? You were bought with a price. So what is God going after? What is it he's trying to achieve? And when you first hear, I'm going to tell you like it was for me, when you first hear the word of the Lord, you ain't thinking about what God's trying to achieve. You thinking about how that thing going to bless you. That's the first stage of hearing is what can God do for me? That's our infantile life in Christ. Our babe in Christ's mind says, what can God do for me? But he waits. And okay, come on, for the joy that was set before him, this man waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and he waits for you to grow and mature and become more seasoned so that when you hear that word again, you're now asking God, what did you want to accomplish? What did you want to achieve? Not how was I going to be blessed, but what did you want to achieve? Oh, come on. Then you know that you're a joint heir. We have to grow up to being joint heirs. Because when we first start out, it's kind of like this. Jesus is the heir carrying it. We like kind of like some prodigal sons that want to go out there and spend our inheritance on that moment. And then we got to come back and ask Jesus for his stuff. See, can we have some? Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you pay our money? Can you help me, please? Because I spent my stuff. I ruined, you know, I exploited my own seed. I exploited my own talents and abilities on something that did not only not pay me back, but took something from me. And now I'm less of a person. I'm less whole because I expended myself on something that did not profit. Come on in here. We've all been there and done that. See, I understood the prodigal son a lot differently when I realized that we are the prodigals out there burning up our inheritance and sowed to the flesh, sowed to the wind, reap the whirlwind in our lives, and now we got to come back to our elder brother, right? We got to come back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and say, hey, Kate, help me. He's got to come and give us life so that we can be restored. He had to come and give us life. You realize this man had to give us his own life so that we could find life again. Oh, come on in here. Predetermined. He predetermined he wasn't going to lose you. He predetermined that no matter what came against their plan and what came against their creation, they weren't going to lose you. Oh, come on in here. That's a predestination moment. That was, okay, life by design. Life by design. Your life by design. Man predetermined that no matter what Satan did to you, no matter how he tried to take your life, he wasn't going to lose you. Oh, come on in here. So he provided some things ahead of time that were going to be necessary for you to endure the hostility of his enemy. Oh, come on in here. He gave us some things. Why? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He had to give you something so that you can endure the persecution, the hostility, the trial, the tribulation, so that in the end, what he predetermined about your life, that of all that was given to him, he was going to lose nothing. 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 So come on in here. He was going to lose nothing. There's nothing in your life that you lost. Oh, come on in here. Not one thing. And we've all in this world that wasn't planned to be, that isn't already corrupted, that isn't already faded away. And we've all lost something. But what God provided for us, oh, come on in here. We had to trade off. See, what you don't understand is that what you're losing is really you giving the enemy back his corruptible stuff. I'm giving you back the mess you gave me. Oh, come on in here. I'm giving you back your corruptible stuff. Okay? I'm giving you back your stuff. Y'all hearing me? Because, see, this is his product. Your life on earth is his product. The product of his determination is to override God in the Garden of Eden. See, that's his product. So I'm giving you back your mess. Oh, come on in here. You can have this garbage. So there's nothing that you're trading off in this world that you have lost in this world. Oh, come on in here. That wasn't already slated to die. That wasn't already marked for corruption. That wasn't already marked for death. What you're trading up to is eternal life. Things that cannot, oh, come on. He said, I'm giving you a treasure that a moth and a robber and a thief that nobody can touch. I'm giving you something that nobody can take and that nobody just can destroy. They don't even have the codes for it. They don't even have the codes for it. There's no law. That's what he said. If you, come on, we're profit a man. He said, because this world is and its corruption have already been marked for judgment, have already been marked for death. So there's nothing that you're holding on to here. There's nothing that you're trading off here. Oh, come on. That wasn't already to die. I hope that helped y'all tonight. My Blog Talk crew, I want to thank y'all for joining us on this session of Wednesday Warriors, where God just wanted to impart some wisdom to us. He wants us to think differently about who he is and think differently about the life that he's given us in Christ Jesus. Because we are bargaining on the wrong side of the table. We're negotiating for the wrong thing. I lost, what did Peter say? But we gave up land, homes, right? He said, there ain't nothing you gave up in this world. He said, everything you gave up was already fading away. You already couldn't take that with you. Oh, come on. That already wasn't going to travel. He said, there's nothing that you gave up in this world that you won't be rewarded for. And God's reward ain't going to die. God's harvest will not die. Does that make sense? God's harvest will not die. And I think I'm frozen on here somehow. I don't know. It froze. So I think we could just stop that. I think y'all blocked off for being with us. Yeah, it's freezing. They're going to love me for that. They're like, where's my prayer? They're already asking me. Mm-hmm. And look, oh, yeah, it is frozen. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Periscope has stopped. Okay. That's what I love about Periscope. Or what I don't love. Okay. I'm just going to do this. Okay. All right, guys. We're just going to close out because I know that the camera just froze. Praise the Lord. I know we're having so much fun. Are we there? Okay. Did it flip? Okay. There we go. We're trying to get it back. All right. I know that the camera just froze, so a lot of you guys will get your prayer in the replay. Y'all going to be a little upset about that, but we're back. We're going to get the camera. I'm going to still pray for you. I'm still going to go ahead and ask God to seal the journey that you're on with him and to work through what we're becoming, because we are becoming something, and it takes work to become, doesn't it? My goodness, it takes work to become and to do this thing in Jesus Christ. It does not. It's not an overnight thing. And so we are becoming, and this whole the whole essence of us working together is that even when you're sowing your seed, you're sowing your seed into what you are becoming. You're not just sowing it into me. You're sowing it into Jesus Christ. You're sowing it into what is changing your life. You should always sow into what changes your life. If it's changed your life, then you should always sow into what changes your life. And so I'm inviting you to do that today here. Because a lot of you have had your lives, I mean, come on, this thing has radically turned your mind around, turned your life around, and produced things in your life that you could not imagine. So you can go ahead and visit www.tylerprice.com, praise the Lord, and you can go ahead and sow to that, www.tylerprice.com. And I think Linda put up the website for me, and I thank you for that. Stacey, I thank you for that, and Linda, I thank you for that. And so I want you guys to go ahead and sow. I'm going to pray with you. Okay, I know I lost some of y'all. You're going to be a little upset, but I'm going to pray with y'all anyway. And ask God to continue, continue the work, or complete, rather, the work that he has started in your life, but to really break you out of the things that have been confining your ability to grow. There are things that are sitting on your destiny, sitting on your prosperity, sitting on your ability to rise in Christ. And so today's prayer is going to be breaking those confinements and breaking off those things that are causing you to not rise into your place or not be able to settle into your destiny. Dr. Price has a wonderful teaching on soul stalkers, about things that stalk your soul and stalk your life, to see to it that you are always frustrated in your destiny and that God doesn't get his complete harvest off your life. If the enemy can't stop what God does, he tries to cheapen it. And so tonight, I'm going to pray that prayer over you, and then we are going to be dismissed for this evening. I want to thank y'all. That's right, soul stalkers. And get that. If you find yourself fighting and don't understand why it's been so difficult for you to just make any kind of headway in what God has given you to do, I recommend that teaching, soul stalkers, because it will help you tap into that and understand how to break beyond and how to go to that next level, break the seal on something, even on your ability to see your purpose. Some of y'all can't even see it, can't even see what God is saying to you, and are just frustrated by that reality right now. And so hear that, because you got things in your past, things in your soul, things from even the Adamic world that are always stalking God. God is always being hunted by the enemy. His stuff is always being stalked. He's always stalking. You just already know, somebody gives you a powerful prophetic word, already know that he's got something in place to stalk that word. He is stalking that word, and he's looking for the opportunity to usurp it or upstage God by trying to bring you a pseudo version of it in some form or fashion. but don't accept the pseudo. Stand for the best. Stand for the best. Stand for the best. As Dr. Price taught us, God is 100%er, and 9 is not 10. So don't settle for 9. Stand for 10. Don't settle for the pseudo opportunity, the convenient opportunity. Don't take the devil's settlement offers on your destiny, because he brings settlement offers in different phases and seasons of your life to see if you're going to settle. If you can take a settlement offer, because he doesn't want to have to give up what belongs to you, that he usurped from you in the garden. He doesn't want to give that up. So as a result of him not wanting to give that up, he will get you to settle on your destiny. Take a cheaper version, a less version, one that doesn't require as many trials and tribulations, one that doesn't require as much sacrifice, one that won't require as much loss. He's always going to get you to try to take the settlement offer. And in this today, I thank you, God, for these people that are on the line with us, these partners and warriors with me. I thank you, God, that they will not take the settlement offer, but God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that you would give them the ability to fight, that you would give them the ability to stand in the things that you have called them to do. God, I thank you that you are exposing every strong man, every strong man. God, they have some mimics in their life. They have some interlopers in their life. They have some infiltrators, God. Things coming in and trying to act like the word of the Lord, trying to be that angel of light, trying to mix, Father God, with your promise. And I thank you, Lord, that you, your Bokusa, send people that will help them separate the wheat from the chaff. It's a season, God, of separating that wheat from the chaff for them so that they know exactly what you have spoken and how, Father God, that you want them to accomplish it in their lives, that they will be able to distinguish the sound of your promise and the sound of your voice, God, from every other liar, from every other ventriloquist, from every other sound, Father God, that would seek to deceive and seduce them in this season. I thank you, God, that you would give them the ability to hear the voice of the seducer and the voice of the deceiver in this season. I'm asking that, God, that you would give them the clarity and that laser-sharp acuity. And even if they don't have it themselves, I'm asking that some of these people just need to be around counselors and people, Father God, that would give them the right wisdom, that would give them the right understanding about how to go after these things and how, Father God, to separate all of the traps and manipulations of the enemy, God, all of the machinations. They need people in their lives to do that, and some of them need to listen more to the voices in their lives that are trying to tell them and trying to make sure they don't take any false doors, that they don't walk into any false opportunities. God, give them the ability, Father God, to listen and hear when someone is trying to give them the advice and the counsel of it. God, I thank you that you're dealing with the things in the heart, Father God, that are trying to inflate and trying to, Father God, override your voice and eclipse what you want them to do in their lives. Help them to get on track with what you predetermined. Help them, God, to get on track with what you predestined for them. Help them, Father God, to be back in alignment. I call them, their lives, back into alignment, that they'll get back into the GPS, your Bokusa of heaven, on their situation, God. Some of them have been knocked off course by trials. Some of them have been knocked off course because of sickness and disease. Some of them have been knocked off course because of things that have happened in their lives. And I thank you, God, for realigning them, getting them back, Father God, on the course that they need to be in this season. I call you back into on course. I call you back into alignment. I call your life back into order in the name of Jesus Christ, God. I thank you, your Bokusa, for giving new opportunities even to them, Father God, to redeem some things, to go back, Father, and reexamine some things. Some people need to analyze some things today. And I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you give them the ability to do so, that you give them the ability, Father God, to examine with honesty and in the spirit of truth, God, where they are and how, Father, they can get into your destined plan. You did not plan for them to fail. You took responsibility for their lives. You took responsibility for their existence. You took responsibility for their faith and hope in you, and you will not fall short in that promise. You will not be flat concerning those things, but you will stand up and be their God. You will stand up and be Jehovah Jireh. You will stand up and be their provider. You will be their Father, God, in these situations and in these matters. Regardless of what the enemy tries to say, you are going to do your job as the creator who set this thing in motion, as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of the matter, the author and the finisher of their faith. You will be faithful, God, in your responsibilities to complete it. Now help us, God, to be faithful in our responsibilities, to be ready, to be equipped, to be prepared, and to your vocal also to be willing and able and surrender to you. I thank you, God, for that tonight. Now bless these people. Seal your word in them. Let this fall on good ground. Let this, Father God, produce in their life. Up Yevokusa, I call them up, God, today. Let this word work in them mightily. Let it work in them all week long, God, as they trust in you, as they press for you, and as they make their own choice. That they're going to, that they're going to fulfill the destiny on their life. As they make that decision today, God, I'm asking that you, Father God, would meet them in the place of their decision. Meet them in the place of their decision. And that of all, Father God, that they commit to you, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to lose nothing, and neither will they. And I bless you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen and amen. I thank you guys for joining us. I hope that prayer blessed you as well, because I want you guys to make it. I want you guys to prosper, and I want you to stay focused on the right thing. Yes, yes, yes. Go and fight and win. That's right, Linda. Keep standing. Keep pressing. Keep going forward in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you all for doing that. Thank you for tuning in. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anita, keep pressing. Keep pressing. Paula, keep pressing. Yes, I want you to keep pressing. Dr. Spears, you keep going in what God has given you to do. Najia, it's so great to see you, and you're going to succeed. Now, you needed to know that God prepared for your success. You just need to enter into that way and be mindful of his wisdom for you. Amen? God bless you all. All right, good warrior, keep pressing. Keep pressing. God bless you guys, and I'll talk to you next Wednesday when we're going to finish Chapter 6. Yay! You guys have a good night. Bye-bye. It done fell like 80 times. That's the phone that just it didn't like to stand. Okay. Why'd I have to go so long? I do an hour every night, and then I pray right at the hour. And if I don't pray and I don't prophesy to people, they get mad. They let me know.
Oh, you really go for an hour and a half.
I want 15.